that?
Nobody.
又怎么领略一览众山的绝顶风光？
攀登的过程也许漫长，但巅峰的风景是值得。
Oh,
Hello, hello. I hope you enjoy that song. That was a very, very viral BGM background music song on Chinese social media. So I really want to share with you guys because it has some kind of Chinese traditional, maybe, I'm not so sure because there's so many Chinese traditional music, but then also mixed with modern beats. Okay, and welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is a show dedicated to the art of negotiation and the East meets West conversation and how individuals navigate complex power dynamics across nations and industries. We're live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. If you are in Vancouver, you can tune your radio to CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain, or simply heard over the head over to cjsf.ca and click Listen Live to join us from everywhere in the world. 欢迎在北京时间每周五早上的八点到九点锁定我的视频号野蛮生长夏洛特同步观看直播。I'm your host Charlotte, and today's guest is Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Charlotte.
Yeah, welcome to our show. I'm very excited to talk to you, to hear your story, I would say.
Yeah, no, this is the first thing that's most interesting about this. So usually when I do my show, I'm sitting where you are and I don't have guests on my show. So this is all like I'm on a different side of the room than I normally are. I'm like, wow, this looks so different from over here.
Great, great. So our show is pretty flexible in terms of the topics and the angle of the topics, right? Because I realized that no matter if you're talking about negotiation or if you're talking about normal life conversations, it's really deep down into human interaction. And before we get into your stories, can you walk us through your journey, how you get where you are, and what the culture that affects you the most?
That's how I got here is a very long story. I don't know. I could take up almost the whole hour. Do you want? Should I start from, let's see, where I was born or where I grew up, or
let's say where you were born?
Okay, so just outside of Vancouver, there's a little island. It's called Vancouver Island, and there's the main city there is Victoria. It's the capital of BC, and I was born and raised in Victoria. I lived there until I was about 18 or 19 years old, and then I moved to Chicago in America. I was there for about 6 months working in a restaurant at that time. So, like, when I graduated from high school, I had wanted to go and become a chef. So I went to culinary school, and then there was a really nice restaurant in Chicago that I wanted to work in. So I went there, and I worked there for about 6 months.
Right.
And then I came back to Victoria. I would then go, and I moved here to Vancouver.
Right.
That was about 2015. I lived in Vancouver for about a year. Then I moved to Spain. I lived in Spain for about a year, and then after that, let's see, what did I do? Oh, I went first to Japan, then I went to Korea, had fun there, and then I moved back to Vancouver. And then after that, I decided I didn't want to cook anymore, so I decided to go back to school. And I finished my bachelor's just about a year and a half ago now. And a little less than a year and a half ago. And I've been kind of working and sorting things out in the meantime. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds a cool journey. I definitely feel there's a lot to unfold, like you said. But I do want to know, do you study something related to cooking with your bachelor, or
no?
Completely different.
Yeah. So I did my bachelor's. I majored in economics, and I did two minors, one in public policy, the other one in psychology.
Right.
And then I've been working in policy related things since then. So
interesting. So you said you really wanted to work as a chef, and you did all these practical experiences. And what made you decided that you might not continue with that pathway?
When you work in restaurants, a lot of the time you're working for like 8 hours minimum if you're lucky, but I was working like 12, 16 hours in certain times. And you have to really love cooking to want to work. You have to love kind of what you're doing to want to do it for 16 hours a day.
Right.
And I kind of realized at some point that I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life.
Mm.
If you work in restaurants for a long time, you will eventually come across older cooks or older chefs who really hate what they're doing. And yeah.
Yeah.
And they wish that they could have done something else.
Right.
So once I realized that I was going on that path, I was kind of like, okay, I need to get out while I still can. So.
Yeah, did you meet people who in this industry loved what they do?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I met a lot of chefs and a lot of cooks who absolutely loved what they were doing. And there's certain trade-offs between cooking versus not. Because
right.
the hours are long. Mm-hmm. It's usually kind of hard for people to have families.
Right.
And then kind of as I got older and I was thinking about it more, I was like more interested in that. I started to think about that more.
I see. I think that's very important because we tend to idealize what's in there, right? Like, for example, normal people wanted to be rich, but then when you actually step on that way to be a rich person, you realize there's tons of work for you to build, and then there's a different kind of the voice that you heard. So this is a very simple, even superficial examples, but I think that explains what we better to try it out before we actually fully dedicated into some area, right?
Of course. And the thing about, like, especially with working in restaurants and cooking is I got a lot of chances to travel. I met a lot of interesting people. Everyone has to eat every day, so knowing how to cook is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely never regretted cooking. I just realized it was time for me to get off of that, so.
Yeah, interesting. So, sounds like it was really like, or similar with my first working experiences, which was working in the airlines in Qatar Airways, was totally irrelevant with what I study in my in the university. I study law, and later on I study negotiation. I study negotiation with AI.
Oh, interesting.
So there's nothing to do with working in an airline. However, that job really allows me to travel a lot, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then you figure out, this is probably not what you wanted to do, or you figure out something that you wanted to do, right?
Right.
So I wonder, except for cooking, or except for being dedicated in this industry, in this role, what are the things that inspired you during that journey?
I started boxing and kickboxing when I was about 19 years old, and I was really passionate about that for a while. And then when I first decided to go back to school, my original plan was to do political commentary because I like reading and I like learning about history and politics. So I thought that was going to be where I was going to end up. And I mean, I still might end up doing that. But yeah, those were kind of the two things that I also was very interested in.
Yeah, okay. Well, like that was the hobbies. But then you decided to come back to Vancouver and continue your studies or maybe your future careers. Like, did you ever think about, okay, I'm going to choose a different place to continue those things?
Well, so yeah, recently I've had the opportunity, and I'm going to be pursuing one of them, to move to other places starting at some point later on this year or next year. So yeah, there's going to be me traveling again and going to other places for sure. I love Vancouver, but I'm not opposed to living in other places, so
right.
We'll see. Yeah,
that's awesome. Like, is that possible for us to know the next destination for you to consider to move to?
It'll probably still be in Canada. It might be. It's most likely going to be Hamilton, which is in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, not quite the other side of the country, but definitely no longer BC. Not because I don't like living in BC, but it was just this opportunity made a lot of sense for me.
Oh, interesting. So before we go further, I do want to continue play the music a little bit, but then after we come back, I wanted to hear if there's a possibility for you to be curious about the Asia countries like China. So we can start from there and also to unfold some possibilities and also the differences between how Chinese young people would choose their life, the career in the early stage. And I'd love to discuss about that, and we will be back.
Of course.
Welcome back. All right, so during the break, we have our live streaming audiences all the way from China just asking Matthew, can you rap? So Matthew, can you tell us, can you rap?
Unfortunately, I cannot rap. When I was in high school, I had wanted to become a rapper and learn how to rap.
Right.
But I was never dedicated enough to really try. So, no.
How unfortunate. How disappointing.
I know. It's interesting because your audience, live streaming audience, is all from China, right?
I think most of them, they are Chinese, but they're Chinese. Some of them are living all over the place. Some of them literally in Richmond, Vancouver. Yeah. So, but yeah, like they have this stereotype where black people are great at sports, black people are great at music, everybody's Jay-Z or Beyonce.
I mean, some of those are good stereotypes, but stereotypes also come with some problems. It's funny, one of the restaurants that I worked at, actually it was here in Vancouver, one of my coworkers was a Chinese guy, and his roommates were also Chinese. At that time, I was a vegetarian, and so I wasn't eating meat. And my coworker was telling his roommate that I, as a black person, wasn't eating meat. And the, and his roommate said, what? I thought all black people just eat zebras.
So, zebras? Like, it wasn't a joke.
No, they were,
that
they
wasn't
were very,
a joke?
Very serious. So
that's funny.
It's interesting that there are all these different stereotypes that exist.
Yeah, and actually, I found that sounds like there's a different stereotype from different areas, because I've never heard that black people normally eat zebra.
I mean, I think if you... are, so my coworker had told me that this person was like very new to Canada from China.
Right.
So maybe he was, they were from an area of China where there are not many black people, where they don't interact with many black people, and they don't see much like American, black American culture, which is different from other places. So if you assume that all black people come from Africa, I can kind of see how that would be an opinion.
Oh, interesting. That makes sense. And also, like, I've been to a lot of places, and I have friends from all over the world. Sometimes when you are not in the U.S., and it could be offensive to call a black person, say they are African-American, because they're not from America, right? So I heard from that, but that would be the... or one of the most respectful way to call a black person, or formal way in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. So there are some, if you're like a black person from, like, so my family is Jamaican.
Right.
If you refer to me as an African American, it's not really correct. It would be more correct for someone to say that I'm Jamaican Canadian.
Right.
But I'm also not. I'm not going to be very worried about that personally. Other people might be, so.
Exactly. That's really up to different person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to continue the earlier topic that you mentioned about you wanted to move to another place, and you probably will want to try different places. And as a person from China, I'm very curious if you are interested in Asia countries. Are you interested in visiting China? And if you are, what is the image in your mind?
So I'm interested. I've been to, I had one stopover in China on my way to Japan. It was in Beijing, but it was only, I basically spent the whole time in either the hotel or the airport. So I've not experienced China personally. I would love to go learn about China. One of the things that's very interesting about Canada versus parts of Asia is that Canada is a very young country. We don't have as much history as much of China, or, you know, even Japan and Korea have a lot more long-term history. So I would like to kind of experience more historical Chinese culture. I've watched a few Chinese movies that I really like.
Right, like what?
Have you ever seen
Hidden Dragon?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Okay, that's like really old ass movie, but everybody knows it because it really greatly showed part of the traditional Chinese culture. And Kung Fu Panda, I guess.
Yeah,
that's not really.
I haven't watched that in a very long time. But there's a few. I think his name is Chung Yo Fat or something. He did a movie. He was in a couple movies called one is Hard Boiled, and he's this police officer in Hong Kong. This movie came out in the 80s, I think. He's a police officer in Hong Kong, and he's trying to find this drug dealer, and there's all these crazy gunfights and stuff. It's really exciting. Things are blowing up all the time.
Okay.
I know that China's not like that, but it was a good movie. Yeah.
It's okay, because we know from all those Hollywood movies that New York's have been bombed like
a billion times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Every time the aliens come to Earth, they always land in New York. It's the only place. So.
Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. Do you know that I think recently China just opened a 30-day travel visa for people from UK and Canada especially. Basically, you don't have to apply for a visa to just stay and travel over China within 30 days. That would be a great connection for normal people to visit each other and find more opportunities, friendships, and connections, right?
One of the things that's interesting about living in Vancouver is there's a very large Chinese community, as I'm sure you know. So I have different friends from China.
Right.
And they've always said very good things about China, so I've wanted to go. I just haven't had the opportunity quite yet. So hopefully in the near future, I'll be able to go to China. I would love to see, obviously, the big tourist thing is the Great Wall of China. Of course, I want to see that. I know that, you know, Shanghai and Beijing are supposed to be beautiful and so massive.
Right.
So I would love to experience that as well.
I see. I have to say that I'm from Chengdu, China, where Chengdu is the capital city of Sichuan Province. And Sichuan Province is a really big place located in the southwest China, where is next to Tibet. So it does attract a lot of foreigners because foreigners, especially from the Western countries, are super interested in Tibetan culture, especially for the Buddhism culture that attracts a lot of people.
Tibetan monks are very famous, yeah?
Exactly. So if you go to Chengdu, and you can visit the biggest panda base in the world, and also they have hot pot, and there's a twin city next to Chengdu. You might see them in, I would say, like TikTok or Instagram, those cyber cities, where the cyberpunk city or cyber city that has like all the lights and buildings are built on the mountains. That's Chongqing.
Okay. I have a friend who's from Sichuan province as well. She is from kind of a smaller village in the countryside, but I don't remember what it was called. She was telling me about it, and she was, you know, she was telling me that it was very beautiful and very interesting. So I would love to just see more and understand more of what happens in China.
Right. So earlier you mentioned about that you did multiple jobs in different countries before you continue your study in the university, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much impossible or unheard of to the Chinese students from just graduated from high school, because where I would say like our tradition is that you graduated and then you go to the university immediately, because you have to take this Chinese SAT exams, and then you get that score, and then you hold that score to be able to enroll, and that only works or available for that year.
Yeah, it's interesting because even here in Canada, it's actually not that common for people to come back to university when they're older. So I didn't start my bachelor's until I was 25 or 26.
Right.
And then I finished my bachelor's at the age of 30. And so there were a few classes that I was taking where I was older than the TAs. And there are a number of like professors in a lot of departments.
Right.
They got their PhDs at the same age I was when I was starting, or, you know, a little bit afterwards. Well, yeah, not too much older, I guess. So it is not as common in North America. I kind of wish it was more common, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely more common in, I don't know, like in U.S. versus China, or compare to Chinese students, because for U.S., I think they can always take the exams multiple times a year and then apply for it. But I know that it's more common for people to graduate from bachelor's and then have some work experience and then decided that they're going to enhance their skills in some profession for their master's.
Yep.
So I know that is pretty common. But in China, it's more of like a continuous way from bachelor to master, and then you finish all your students' way or your student
your studies,
life, and then you go to the workplace. Yeah.
I think the advantage of that would be best case scenario, you've got your bachelor's, you start a good career, then you can go and you can have your family and you can kind of move on and do things like that. But nowadays, I think